So somebody just came over to me and said that they were sure I was going to speak about Hanukkah today, but they weren't sure how I would get to it. So here we have...
the culinary version.
Here we have Sufganiyot. Now, we'll start with it, we'll end with it. In the middle, we'll talk about something else. But it really will all be around Sufganiyot. But here's a source from 800 years ago. Source number one. It's from a man named Rabbi Maimon. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Maimon?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this Rabbi Maimon from 800 years ago was the Rambam's father. Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon makes Maimon, who we normally just call him the father of Moshe, but he himself was a very significant person. And he writes, Ein lahakel b'shum minhag, afilu minhag kal. One should be very careful about keeping customs, even what you would consider a light custom. And that's a general statement. Generally, in Jewish law, Jewish practice, we're very careful about our customs. V'itchayev kol nachon lo asit mishte v'simcha machal ulefarsem hanes sha'asa Hashem yitbarach imonu b'oto yamim. And we should be, it's proper to make, not just to light the Hanukkah candles, but it's also proper to make a party. I don't know if any of you have Hanukkah parties or invited to Hanukkah parties. It's good to have a Hanukkah party in order to turn the Hanukkah or turn a meal on Hanukkah into a Sudat Mitzvah. And the way to do that is with Mishtev, Simcha, Machal, in order the Farsim Hanes. So therefore, another way of Persume Nisa, another way of publicizing the miracle, aside from just lighting candles, is by virtue of having a Hanukkah party. Okay. Upashat haminhag latsot sufganin, and the custom has spread in terms of making sufganin. Now, just in case you're not sure what exactly sufganin is, he tells you ba'aravi el safig it probably would be, but I don't know if that that helped you.
Yeah, the Moroccan sufganiyot. My mother-in-law calls them
sfinj. Ah, okay. So I was right about the j instead of the g.
One good
okay.
Guess.
No. I know. I did poorly enough when I studied Arabic that little bit I know. V'heim hatzifchiyot bidvash, and these are things which are, I think, have been soaked in honey. Uvetargum ha'istarkin, and he writes huminhag hakadmonim. This is an ancient custom. So here you have the Rambam's father telling you that eating sufgani. Again, you don't need to listen to anything else I'm going to say today because now you'll be able to show, though, sufganiyot, not only do we find it 800 years ago, but we find 800 years ago the Rambam's father saying, don't take minhagim of Hanukkah lightly. Specifically, he brings an example that we have an ancient minhag. So he's telling you that this is something already Lodori Dorot before then, and that custom was in order to make sufganiyot. Mishum shehim kluyim b'shemin l'zecher birkato klama l'nes shepach shemin. So he says, the reason, or is it because it's made in oil? So here he tells, again, I've said this every year, I'll say it again, that the reason we eat sufganiyot is because you have enough oil for 8 days in each one, and it's the inverse of the miracle of Hanukkah. But he is really saying that the reason that you... What? What did you say?
Calories to match.
No, whatever. And by the way, that's most likely the reason why some of you... one of your fondest memories of childhood would be the smell of potato latkes. Yeah. Aside from the taste. I dropped my wife around 7 hints last night. I said, so are you going to make potato latkes now? She said, no. I said, but around 7 times I tried, it didn't work. But, excuse me? No, I didn't. I didn't do it myself. I would have, but I didn't do it.
But you've got to be careful about
when
they're
I will tell. Listen. On Tuesday? No, you have to do it right then. Okay. Anyway, so here we see a source for eating sufganiyot. Now, there's only one little question that we need to ask, and that is, and when you eat your sufganiyot, what bracha do you make on it? Right? And the answer, of course, is... aside from that... By the way, I'm sure you can stick a wick in it, and it would... Anyway. Okay, so the question is, what bracha do you make? And this is a very easy answer, and you all know the answer. What's the answer? You're afraid to say it, right? You're really afraid to say it. So what's the answer? What's the answer is Barimini Misonot. But the only consideration that we may have is it depends how many you eat. Now before we finish, we'll come back to see the consideration of how many you eat, and we'll see what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah do say about how many sufganiyot you should eat. But you should eat. But let me start now with a more basic question, and that is, what is the correct bracha that you make on wheat? Of course, this could be the same question I could have asked about spelt and rye. Not that I know what spelt is, but... Okay, good. So far we found two brachot. Okay, good. And what? So instead of asking you questions and making you feel inadequate, instead I can just say it, and you can shake your heads knowingly and say, "Yeah, well, that's of course what I was thinking." If you go out to a field and you pull out some wheat from the ground and you want to take a bite of that wheat, I don't know why you would want to. What bracha would you make on that? Shakol. I said you shouldn't answer. You should wait for me to say this and then go like this. I'll try that again. 1 second. And you take it out. What bracha? You make a shakol, right? Now that was very good. It was very good. You make a shakol. Now the question is, why do you make a shakol and not make an adama? Or for that, 1 second. And does anybody want to make a mizonot in that case? What's anybody willing to make a mizonot? I asked you the question. What bracha do you make on wheat? And you had to be very clever and say to me, well, either mizonot or a motzi, and now just now, I said wheat. So now I'm going to ask again. If you eat wheat, what bracha do you make on it? So it depends. If it is cooked or roasted, right? For roasted is the easiest way right now, and I'll explain to you why I'm going to roast it. If you take your wheat and you roast your wheat, by the way, what will you end up with if you roast wheat? It could be, but a lot of people eat this, and they throw it in together with raisins and nuts and other things, and they call it granola. You've roasted the wheat, roasted, what? You haven't processed it, and I'll explain exactly what I mean by that. Once it's roasted, by the way, once, 1 second. I'm getting back there. Once you roast it and you've prepared it for eating, you've turned it into something which is edible. So at this point, what is it? It's something which grows from the ground. Now, you can still say tell me it should be a mizonot. So the answer, no, it's not a mizonot. At which point is something a mizonot? Only at the point that the starch emerges from the product. Which means, what is the bracha borei mine mizonot? You've given me things which are, what does the word mizonot mean? Something, mazon, something which is satiating. Which means the idea of mizonot is something which has starch to it. Now, if you take one of the five grains and you roast them, like I said, the starch will not emerge from them. So therefore, if any of the five grains are roasted, it's not a mizonot because the starch didn't come out. What is it? It's something that grew from the ground. So what bracha would it be? It would be an adama. So therefore the correct bracha on granola should be an adama. Mixed with what? Right, so the bracha again should be an adama. And this is a problem of mixing various things, which is just 1 second. If you tell me the raisins are the main thing, so then maybe you'd make an eitz, but... Right, and the main thing is they all grow from, and they all grow from the ground, and the bracha is an adama. And the bracha is an adama. Again, it's still going to be an adama when we're finished. Okay.
So
wheat berries would be an adama. The only time that wheat would be, or any of the five grains, becomes a mizonot is when the starch emerges from it. By the way, this is the reason that we break the rules of brachot. And we even say mizonot on something which isn't the five grains. And what's that? On rice. Good, look at that. Why on rice? Because rice also has that same starch aspect to it. By the way, if you make rice and it doesn't clump together, rather you can see your rice, you have individual grains of rice, it's not clumping, you don't say mizonot on it. Then you say an adama on it. Okay? That I can't tell you. If the rice is obviously not stuck together, then you would say an adama. It depends on which kind of rice. There are lots of varieties of rice. Yeah, lots of different types of rice. So therefore, again, the Chazal made a special bracha. There's a special bracha when something is satiating, and that is when the starch comes out of it. Now, why don't we just say a mizonot on bread? Why don't we just say mizonot on bread? Because the bread is also mizonot. So now Chazal made a more specific bracha, and in their minds, the highest level that wheat can get to. You talk about reaching your full potential. You know, you see the little wheat and it's in kindergarten and you're not sure what's going to be with it. So if you just eat it straight, then it's a shakol. You cook it, you prepare it a little bit more, now it becomes an adama because now it's really edible. Beforehand, you're just eating something. So if you can eat something, it's still food. Plain wheat is still food. It's raw, it's still food. But it's not an adama because it has not reached, it's not really edible as an adama. When it comes edible as an adama, you make an adama. When the starch comes out of it, you make a mizonot. When do you make a motzi lechem in aretz? Now that Chazal said, okay, here's a special bracha, and you know that bread is incredibly important in terms of Jewish thought. And once it becomes bread, then you say a motzi lechem in aretz. So therefore we have this, when I asked you the question on wheat, so then you could have said any bracha except like Bar Pira Eitz, and you would have been right over there. Well, just about any bracha would have been okay, but it really depended on the situation, on what bracha you'd make on wheat. Yes? I'll get to that. It's a lie. It's a lie and a conspiracy. Okay, next. Excuse me? See, I'm afraid to say it because you have to tell me when the starch will emerge from it. So I know when it's roasted, it doesn't. I'm not sure about what happens when you cook to it.
Roasted or baked?
I think it's the same, yeah. So you just have to again. You now know the criteria. It's the point that the starch will come out from it. At that point, it becomes a mizonot. So that's what I'm. Yeah.
That's cooked wheat.
At that point, I think it does emerge. I think the starch. It gets starchy. Right. It gets starchy at that point. Right. So I'm saying, because rice is fundamentally not part of that category, only when it's absolutely starchy do you make that bracha. Wheat, because it is part of that category, so once, if you put wheat and chul into it, will make it starchy, right? And there, at that point, it becomes a mizonah. Which, by the way, the bracha for cholent, I don't know how often you have cholent during the week by itself, the bracha for cholent, if it has wheat in it, would be a mizonah. Yeah. Unless for you... Yeah, but one of the five grains almost always wins when it's mixed with something else. Almost always. Like an exception for this would be when they put wheat in licorice. When they put it in licorice. They put in licorice, so no one's going to make them. I mean, I'm not saying no one, I'm afraid, because you will find somebody who'll say, oh, licorice is mizona. But that's not really going to be the case. Schnitzel could be then the problem as well. But there, it's an issue of what you call ikar vitafel. What the main thing and other thing is. So, right. I understand. But once you have something where it has the starch aspect to it, at that point, meaning the schnitzel, it's not for the starch aspect. It's just as a cover to it. So it makes a difference. And by the way, a lot of people say, like in institutions like yeshivot, where they may make the thing very thick because they want to give them less meat and they want to fill them up on it, then the bracha would be mizona. So even schnitzel may make a difference.
The main ingredient is oil.
Well, that's part of the great Hanukkah story. Okay, so let's make some progress here. Otherwise, what? Excuse me? Potatoes is a real good, correct, it's a real good question. And the real answer is because Chazal did not know potatoes. They knew about rice, they didn't know about potatoes. So it's possible, had they known about potatoes, they would have said that as well. But they didn't, so therefore... So we'll see now what it is. Now, the Gemara tells us, and this is what I had mentioned last week, and then we saw that none of you had any recognition to the term or the concept, so this is why we are now returning to it. there's something which is called pat haba b'kisnin. And that's what we're going to come back and look at. Rav Huna achal tleisar rifti b'nei tlata. Tlata b'kava v'lo barech. Rav Huna had 13 rolls of three to a kab, whatever, I mean, that's an amount, and he didn't bank a bracha after them. Omer Rav Nachman, ade kanfa? He goes, were you really that hungry? Kol shacharim kovim lovsud et tzarech levarech. Meaning, even if you weren't hungry and it wasn't visavata, if other people would be koveya suda on this amount, you would bench. And I'm not going to get into that case yet. I may get back to it. Rav Yehuda hava asik le lebrei, Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was making a wedding party for his son in the house of Yehuda ben Chaviva. Aitu l'kamayu pat haba b'kisnin. And he put before the guests something which is called pat haba b'kisnin. Now, what exactly those words mean is itself a big machloket, and we'll see various Rishonim give different definitions to what pat haba b'kisnin is. But over here, it's quite clear from the context that he's giving it to them for dessert. Ki ata shma'inhu to come virchi amotze, and he heard people making amotzi on it. Amar lehu ma'itzitzi dekos shemana. He said, like, what is this, you know, chirping that I hear? Dilma hamotzi lechem in aretz come virchi to you? He goes, is it that you really wanted to make a motzi on this? Amri lei in. They said, yeah. Ditani Rabbi Muna, Amri Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Pata Baba Kistin, Avrachan Lava Motzi. Because we have a tradition that if you eat Pata Baba Kistin, which we still don't know what it is, all that we know is that he thought he was serving it for dessert. So if he's serving it for dessert, the thing that we should be thinking in our minds right now is cake, pie, cookies, or something like that. He serves it to them and thinks it's dessert, and they're making a motzi on it. Just one second. For Omer Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Omer lahu, ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna. He says, the law is not like Rabbi Muna. You don't make a motzi on this. Itmar, Omer lei, v'ha mar hu da Omer mishmei de Shmuel. You're the one who said the name of Shmuel. Lachmaniyot, ma'arvin bahen v'rechim aleim hamotzi. That if a person eats lachmaniyot, which again, this also we don't know exactly what it is, then you would be able to make an Erev out of it, because you need to make an Erev, you need it to be food, and you would make a motzi on it. He goes, Shani Hatam. He goes, no, that's different to Kava Sudata, Sudate Alayu. They're being Koveya Suda. Avahecha de lo Kava Sudata Alayu lo. Which means, we have a machloket over here with something called Pata Babi Kisnin. Regarding Pata Babi Kisnin, which we still don't know what it is, what we find over here that the bracha for it is not an absolute bracha, but an important consideration in what the bracha is depends on how it's used. If you are koveya suda, if you're not koveya suda, which now just for us created another problem. What's this other problem? The other problem is, what exactly is koveya suda mean? So, he serves something to them. He thinks it's some kind of a dessert. They're making a motzi, pata baba kisnin. They say, you make a motzi on it. He says, you don't. He says, but you quoted that you say a motzi on it. He goes, no, that's only if you koveya suda. Here you're not being koveya suda. You're eating it. You're eating it in a different way. Okay, so now, as far as what just now went on in this Gemara, I mean, obviously we left a lot of things wide open, and you also appreciate that English didn't do anything for you in explaining any of these things. And by the way, I see that you have lots and lots of questions about it. I have a book over here. This whole book is on this topic. Okay? Yeah. I mean, it's called Sefer Birchat HaNenin, by a nephew of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he's not crazy. It's not like some looking for, I mean, going through the various issues over here, all the various applications which some of you started to raise, I mean, each one is a separate issue, each one is a discussion, and each one could be a separate class very easily. Let's take a look at Rashi. Source number three, Rashi writes, Pata Babi Kisnin, La'achar Achila u'birkat mazon. That was your question. Did they make a motzi? Yeah, they made a motzi. They already had the suda. They already made a motzi. They already had their whole suda. And now they're having dessert after they've said Birkat HaMazon, which means they're not about to be koveya suda. That's really what Rashi's trying to tell us. Listen, people have different customs regarding this point. It's sometimes just a question of convenience. you know, what you do regarding dessert. Some people, someone's got to leave, so you bench and then you have dessert afterwards. I know this time of year I have a problem almost every Shabbat that I have to get to the early mincha so I have time to get to my to my various classes that I give on Shabbat afternoon. So we more likely than not will not have dessert because I have to run to mincha. We'll bench, we'll come back, and then we'll have some kind of dessert afterwards. If anyone is still awake. So Rashi writes, La'achar achila u'bikar mazon, hoyu regilin lahavi kisnin. He says they would bring kisnin. Now, what exactly is kisnin? Vehein kliot, something which is kalui, is roasted. Lefi sheyafin lalev, because it's something which makes you feel good. Comfort food, exactly what he's saying. Kida amrinan ba'alma, as they say, and let's just skip a little bit. Umivin imahin pat shenilusha im tavlin. Now he is giving you a recipe. It's bread, which is soaked in flavors. Pat shenilusha im tavlin. Kein. And that's a word in French. Oh, you can guess as well. Is that, you know the French there? Sorry, it's ovilioche, if I'm pronouncing it properly. Which he says is ugot. That's the translation of it. Shalanu, that's like what we call cookies or cake, right? V'yesh she'osim otam kimin sipurim, right? V'ilanot, that you would make your cakes with various shapes, make them look like trees or make them look like birds. V'ochlim mehen davar mu'at. And normally, what would you do? It's sweet after the meal. You would eat very little of this. And because you're putting all of these other flavors in it, now you see why I called this cake before? Because you're putting all these flavors in it. And he goes, and because you're eating so little of it, you're not even going to eat enough for bracha achrona. So as far as he's concerned, when you serve this dessert, people take a little taste of it. So what do? You make a mizonot, and you make no bracha achrona because you didn't drink, you didn't eat enough of it. So over here, what did they do? The people there, they're making a motzi. You want to say berkat mazon? He says, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're not kovei asuda on this, and if you're not kovei asuda on it, so now you will perhaps understand how if you're kovei asuda or not kovei asuda, it may impact the bracha achrona. But over here, we've learned another thing. It also impacts the bracha rishona. Now, that's something which we need to know why this is. So let's take a look at now the Ritva in source number 4, explaining what he thinks pat habavikistin is. Pat habavikistin, he pat, ne'efa b'tanor, v'zneta ka, ma'od. Now, he just added something that Rashi didn't say. What did he say about it? And it's very, very thin. So now, what did he just turn this into? A biscuit, crack it, whatever. Now, what does it have? It has wheat, right? It has flour. It has water. The starches come out of it. It's something which we should have called bread. By the way, this is very important regarding what you would call matzah. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's not exactly matzah. Why? Because it has flavors. Well, he didn't say the flavors yet. Ma'od ulfamim, ulfamim, and occasionally. Lashin otan b'shemen, the gamra nimsham kliot. Sometimes you would, you know, add other types of ingredients. Ubnei shehid daka, the ein derech la'achila el ta'anug ke'ein perot. Now, because it's so thin, people don't. What's his real point? They don't eat a lot of it, which means they don't use it like bread. So here we have, so for two explanations: Rashi's explanation and the Ritva's explanation. What's in common with them both? The basic ingredients have bread within the ingredients. In both cases, other things are being added. The question is, how does that impact it? Over here, the Ritva added another element, and that is that you're going to bake it really, really thin, so you could end up, now, I can give you all kinds of considerations. What this could be pretzels. This could be pretzels, this can be cookies, this could be all kinds of things, which basically have the ingredients of bread, but you make them a little differently, or for that matter, matzah, or if you add the oil consideration, maybe even think about egg matzahs and things like that. Okay. And he says over here that you eat it not derech achila, ela leta'anug. You eat it for, he calls it enjoyment, ke'ein perot. So what does he mean by that? This is something you're eating for dessert, not something that you're going to be eating as regular bread. And at the very end, he writes, sorry, continue in that same thing. We're going to prepare it. Kol shekavah sudah to alav, if you are koveya sudah on it, so what bracha would you make? Mevarech alav hamotzi, v'shalosh brachot lechatchila. Shalosh brachot means berkat hamazon, because it has three brachot in it from the Torah. Sorry. First, im kavah su'udah, if you were koveya su'udah on it, what's the right, then what do you, how do you treat it? You treat it like bread. Then he says afterwards, v'im lo kavah su'udah alayu, afilu b'pad ha-babikistin, mevarech alav v'ri, b'nei mezonot, l'vasof bracha achat me'en shalosh. V'im berech alav hamotzi, v'shalosh brachot yatsa, which is also interesting. If you made a mistake, and you made a motzi and berkat hamazon, you're okay, because when it comes down to it, it really is bread. So now let's just think a second what we just now read. Over here, you have something which is very similar to bread. It really is bread, but what's the issue? We're not using it like bread. We're using it as something else. We're using it for dessert. You're not koveya suda on it. If you're not koveya suda on it, right, you didn't make this the meal, you're not koveya suda on it, so therefore it becomes not bread. But why is it not bread? So we really saw two considerations here. What are the two considerations? One is you've added other ingredients, and what's the second consideration? How you're using it. So therefore, what happens if you've added more ingredients, but you use it as bread? So now what happens? What did the Ritva say very clearly? The Ritva says now it becomes bread again, which, by the way, we're going to start to get to the problem of her mezonot roll. Let's take a look at the Rashba now. He is focusing on the word kisnin as far as the word kiss. V'pata baba kisnin, d'hainu kagon oviliyosh, that was the word that Rashi had used. V'otana usim kimin kisin, you make the bread like with a pocket, think pita. V'osin kimin kisin, shemima le'in otan bidvash ushkedim umine b'samim, imbo b'tocha suda, if you eat it during the meal, it doesn't need an additional bracha. Why don't you need a bracha afterwards? Because again, it's assuming you're eating so little of it. So again, he's describing something which has bread-like qualities to it, but it added to it honey or nuts or raisins or something else to it, which again is something which is like, by the way, this would be a real good application of this would be pie. Right? Would be pie. Although I just now added the Rashba and the Ritva together, because the Ritva discussed something which is very, which is a crust-like thing which gets very, very thin. But if you add the two together, then you end up with pie. Shibole Halekit writes, when he tells you that he ate 13 of these, you know, things, like the very beginning of the Gemara, Pirish Pata Baba Kisnin. What did he eat? He ate Pata Baba Kisnin. Now you realize why that was connected to the Gemara, right? She'enu Masbia, it doesn't fill you up. But Naseke Otuninyan, She'enu Nikralechem. And therefore, it becomes like something that's not bread, which means, what is Pata Baba Kisnin? Now, from the first word in that should give you a hint. What's the first word? Pot. So what does pot mean? Bread. So it's bread which is filled dough, something that you're doing a little bit different with it. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and to see what the Shulchan Aruch did with these various opinions. Pata babikisnin, bevarich alav, boru name is a note. Ula'achar alav, baruch achat me'in shalosh. What's that? That's what you would call an alamechia. Achat me'in shalosh. Bracha shalosh brachot is berkat hamazon. Me'in shalosh is alamechia. So, Panaba Bikisnin, Mavarich Alav, Boru Minem is Onot, Ula Acharav, Bracha Achat Me'en Shalosh Brachot. Ve'im Achal Mimenu Shi'ur, which you don't know exactly what that is yet, Shi'ur Sha'acherim Rigilim Likvoa Alav, if you eat the amount that people normally eat in order to have a meal, so what do? Afal Pishahu Lo Sava Mimenu, even though he himself personally is not filled up from this, Mevarech alav hamotzi u'birkat hamazon. At that point, if you were koveya suda on it, then you do make a motzi and you do say birkat hamazon. So what did we just now learn? Theoretically, you had one piece of cake. You had one piece of cake. Let's say you forget about one piece of cake. You had a sliver of cake. You were just straightening the cake, right? So you would say, Borei Minei Mizonot, and what would you say afterwards? Nothing, because you didn't have enough. If you straightened it 15 times in a row, one second, not 15 times. If you now have a nice, gesunte, zaftig piece of cake, so what would you do now? You would say, Borei Mizonot, and afterwards you would say, Alamechia. You eat half the cake, you just got into a problem. What's your problem? Your problem is you were Kaveh Asuda on it, which means why wasn't this a motzi? Why is this not a motzi? It's not a motzi because you don't use it as bread. But if you just now kovei a suda on it, so now, after you finished eating it, v'achalta v'savata. So now the question is berachta going to follow? Going to be the next step? As far as intent goes, maybe we'll also see something about that. That's bad. When you, in order to wash for a motzi, to say alatil at yadayim, you need to eat a minimal amount of bread. It's at least a kazayit. Toch kedei achila pras, which means when you start your meal, you should eat half a slice of bread. Again, I don't know how thick you're right. You should eat half a slice of bread right there in order to justify it. You don't want to eat any other bread the rest of the meal. It's okay. But what's going to end up happening? That bread goes together with the rest of the food. So for I look how much visavata, it goes together, which, by the way, is also going to end up being the problem with the mizonah bread. So what do? They say, oh, no, this is really mizonah bread. Why is mizonah bread? We still have to come back to and see. We don't have enough information yet. But theoretically, if mizonah bread is part of baba kisnin, so what happens if they give you a mizonah bagel that you're putting, you know, real cheese and real lox, and you're eating it as you would a meal. So is that really what we've been seeing over here, or is that something else? Which means what makes a pata baba kisnin pata baba kisnin? The fact that you're not using it as bread. But what happens when you use it as bread? Which means is it a lie, and there is a conspiracy over here to tell people, oh no, this is, meaning mizonah bread is wonderful. If you were to eat it after the meal as dessert, and have a little bit of it, then it would absolutely be mizonah. The problem is when you eat mizonah bread as regular bread. Now, listen, it could be that on a plane it's a little inconvenient and whatever. It could be that somebody woke up and said, you know what, maybe there's room to be makel over here, even though it's wrong. Okay, but I'm not, excuse me? Okay. Of course it should wash on it, yes. Let's continue. Next word. Ve'im mitchila haya bedato, the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, also his wife made good cake. Ve'im mitchila haya bedato lachom imenu ma'at. You originally intended to have a little. Ubarech b'rei minizanot. And what do you say? You say minizanot, because you're only having that little piece. Ve'achar kach achal shi'ur shacherim kovim alav. The end of the day, you had enough, which was kviyat suda, which we still don't know how much that is. At that point, you say berkat hamazon. Which means even though you didn't say a motzi, which means now you realize that saying berkat hamazon and saying a motzi are not impossibly linked together. And it could be. So what do I judge when I decide if I make berkat hamazon? What do I judge? I judge, did I get to v'chalta v'savata v'rachta? Right? V'chalta v'savata, then it's a v'rachta. When as far as the first bracha goes, so what am I eating? So if I think I'm just eating something which is part of baba kisnin as a snack, I would say mizonot. This would be the great pizza question, and I'll say something, and don't correct me yet. If you intend to have half a slice of pizza, right, and you end up with four slices of pizza, right? You eat the. I'm being extreme on purpose. You make a mizonot on that half a slice. But when you finished eating your eight half slices, then what do you say? Then you say berkat hamazon because you were kovei asuda, because this would be a meal. Yeah.
I have friends.
I have friends also.
Allergic to wheat, so they have rice cakes.
Right.
And they don't have to
Correct.
Do they have to bench?
No.
For a Friday
night? No. Rice becomes mizonot. One second.
On a Friday night,
they can't. They have challah.
They don't have challah. Okay. They have a rice cake.
Okay. Why can't they? Can they?
Allergic to wheat.
Can't they eat one of the other grains? No, even celiacs can eat one of the other grains. Find out if they can eat one of the other grains. They should go to one of these health food stores that sells challah. There's one right near the shuk that sells challah or something that looks like challah from any of the five grains. They should go there. Celiacs can't eat that. And only in a case that they can't eat any of the five grains, so then they would... I mean, you can't make a motzi on rice cakes.
Do you have to bench?
No. Rice... Rice will never become bread. This is I said rice can become mizonot. Rice can never become bread. Rice will not be bread. Corn will not be bread. Cornbread, potato starch bread can't be bread. All these things are not bread. The only thing which can be bread is out of the five grains. Okay? Continue. Yes. Yes. You eat the amount that other people don't establish a meal with. Even though for you this was a meal, which means the idea of being koveya suda, we don't go individually. And by the way, this is a machloket, but this is the way the Shulchan Aruch rules. We don't go individually, subjectively, what you happen to feel right now. This goes in terms of an amount which people would normally eat to be koveya suda, which therefore does objectify the halacha. The question is, what is this objectified number or amount? Which means, for example, when I say it's the amount that you koveya a meal, one of the things that the refreshim discuss, is it the amount of a major meal that you eat, which then in those days they had two major meals, they had breakfast and dinner, is it that amount? Or is it something even that you would call a snack or tea time or something else, which would be a smaller meal? Does that also count as a meal? So I'm saying that becomes a point of tension. Yes?
What about the five
grains? Not
rice.
Wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Okay. Next. Mishnah Berurah, source 8. Kisnin. He says, in the next halacha, we'll learn what this is. But meanwhile, the after bistampat mivarchin alav hamotzi. You with me? Even though when you eat bread, the normal thing to say is hamotzi, bikol shehu. When you eat regular bread, you would say hamotzi even if you ate one crumb. For washing, you need to eat at least a kazayit. I'll say it again. If you want to eat some bread, regular bread, real bread, not a papa kistna, not cake. You eat real bread, even one crumb, you would make a motzi on it. Just like you take one bite of an apple, you say, I ate, right? The mitzvah of washing with a bracha, you may wash without a bracha, washing with a bracha is only if you're going to eat a kazayit. Okay, I'm pretty sure it's a kazayit. I hope it's not a kibetza. I didn't double check that before, so let's hope that I'm right.
Can you say it again?
You would make a motzi. But you wouldn't wash with a bracha. You can wash without a bracha.
On a tel
yadayim.
What's the size of one crumb? Is it like a bite?
No, any amount. Meaning, when it comes to bracha rishona, there's no limit to how much you eat. Even the smallest amount, right? You can eat. Again, let's say you're cooking and you taste something. You're not going to swallow it. You don't make a bracha. If you're going to spit it out, you don't make a bracha. But if you want to take one grain of rice and taste the one grain of rice, or one thing of spaghetti and see if it's ready, you'd make a bracha on it. You make a bracha on any amount of food. So over here, you're going to eat the smallest amount of bread. I'm saying literally a crumb. You would make a motzi on it. But the idea of washing alati adayim is only on a certain amount, which I'm pretty sure is a kizayit. Let's continue. He writes, v'afte bistampat mevarchin alav hamotzi b'kol shehu, that when it comes to regular bread, bona fide bread, you would make a motzi even on any amount. But if you ate a kazayit of bread, then you would say Birkat HaMazon. Shani Elu, these things are different, meaning this part of Babakistan, which we don't know what it is yet, for real, we have suspicions, cake, pie, pretzels. He says these things are different. The Ein Derech B'nei Adam L'Kvoa Su'udatan Aleihem, because this is not what people are normally used to make a meal. V'rak Ochlen Otan Ma'at Derech Harai. And people snack on these things. They don't establish meals with this. L'fichach Birchatan Rak Borei Meim is a note. Therefore, the bracha for these things are decreased. It's only a mazonot. Well, acher of bracha me'in shalosh, ela im kain, unless achal kishiur kviatzuda, unless you ate the proper amount. Azma bracha motzi birkat hamazon dalkonim patu, because bottom line is it is pat. So now, what did we just now learn from this Mishnah Berurah, which I've already said to you last week? What is pat of Babakistan? It's bread which isn't used as bread. So what happens to bread which isn't used as bread, which you use as bread? Should I say that again? It's bread. It's bread. Say that again? Should I say that again? Part of Babakistan is bread which isn't used as bread. So what happens to bread which isn't used as bread, which you use as bread? What is it?
Bread.
Because of the quantity and how it's used. Right. Right. Which means even the Gemara we saw, what was he was serving these little things as dessert. Okay, that's not bread. It had other sweet elements to it. So it's bread which lost its identity. Again, what did we see with wheat? We saw wheat could be a shakol, it could be an adama, it could be a mizonot, it could be a motzi, it could be a motzi and go back to mizonot. Meaning that's now what we've learned that it's a motzi when it's bread and used as bread. Here we have something that because of the way that it's made, which may be ingredients, it may be thickness, it may be burntness or whatever else, because of how it's made, it's not used as bread. Once it's not used as bread, it loses that special bracha as bread. But what happens now if you use it as bread? Now it became bread. What are those real thin things that people eat that look like this bit? Yes. So what's that? It looks like a real thin. It looks like matzah on a diet. So what? Right. So now, if you were to break that into four and serve it as hors d'oeuvres and put a little cream cheese with an olive on top, you can try that. And people take a little bite of it. So what would that be? So you say, okay, that's an hors d'oeuvre, and you're not being kovei asuda, whatever. That's just like a snack. What happens if you eat six of them? So it's bread, which isn't bread, which you just used as bread. So now you're kovei asuda. Now you could say, but those are crackers. Okay, great, they're crackers. They're bread. Yes. Which may make things even worse, but we'll get there. Because you also know if you take bread and you put peanut butter and jelly on it, it's still bread. Grape jelly is the best on it, by the way. It's true, no? I know. We also only get it with Pesach. We buy 10 bottles by Pesach.
What's the minimum amount to wash on?
With the bracha. With the bracha. Kazayit. That's around, that is, right, that's part of what we need to get to, but we're not going to get to it right now. Okay? Let's continue. Next, number 9, on what other people are kovei asuda. Katvu achronim, de'im achlu levado, tzarech sheyachol, shi'ur shechem regilin, lesvor mimenu, levado. If you eat this pat of Babakistan by itself, then you need to eat the. In order to say the Birkat HaMazon, you need to eat the amount that other people are kovei asuda on. Ve'im achlu im basar odvarim acherim shemelaftim bo hapat sagi kisha ochel shir shirchem regilim lesvoim imenu kisha ochlim gamkem in dvarim acherim, which means it's the opposite of what you thought, which means it goes back to function. You know, in those days, I've said this before, they would make this big thing called muck. And they would dip their bread into it, and that's how they would fill up. Or today, people use bread, and they use it to make sandwiches, which means, theoretically, if you ate this pot of Babakistan by itself, like a piece of cake by itself, so then you'd have to eat the amount that people normally kovei asuda. But what if you ate it, and let's just say for right now, for argument's sake, that amount is 200 grams. Okay? We're making this up, we're really not, but let's say it's 200 grams is the amount which is kovei asuda. So now let's say that you don't have 200, meaning, so therefore, if you only eat this, you need 200 grams, and at that point, you'd have to make a motzi. Sorry, not just a motzi, Birkat HaMazon. But let's say you have less than 200 grams. But with the basaret makes it up. He goes, okay, you will kovei a suda on that because that just became a meal. Which means if you had one cookie, so you had one cookie. But if you have two cookies and put ice cream in the middle, so then what? At that point, you may have changed this into something else. And that's what he's saying over here. It goes back to being kovei a suda. Kovei a suda is the amount you would eat for a suda. So how much would you eat? So again, if you therefore have two slices of mizono bread and you load onto that pastrami, corned beef, roast beef, and you make the sandwich like this, guess what? You just had a meal. But it's mizono bread, and it says it's mizono bread. And six rabbis, some alive and some dead, put a stamp on it saying that this is mizono bread. So what just now happened? You took your mizono bread and you're using it as bread. Because it's bread which isn't normally used. We don't know why it's not normally used. We didn't get to that yet. It's bread which isn't used as bread, which you're using as bread. So guess what it is? Bread. Because it's not called a suda then. Still not a suda. Okay. So.
And what happens if you don't have rice and no bread?
You're not Asian. Okay. So you got to teach them about bread. Tartar pastrami sandwich with rice on both sides. Come on. Okay, continue. And then he continues and he writes, on top of page 3, it's still the same Mishnah Berurah, Ita de shi'ur suda hu gimel udalad beitzim. The amount of that makes it kovei a suda is the amount of 3 or 4 eggs, and that's how I got to the 200 grams. By the way, 200 grams is not an enormous amount. It is not an enormous amount. And what? 200, yes. Now think of pizza. How many slices of pizza is 200 grams? So it depends on how big that pie is. You may get to this even within one big slice. Certainly two slices of pizza.
Well, it's a very big dough.
Right, right. I will, but it really doesn't make that much of a difference because you include the other stuff which is on it, as we just now saw the sentence before, which means there's no question in my mind that for two slices of pizza, you would wash, you make a mozi, and you make a birkat hamazon. There is a question with one slice of pizza, and I would lean to say if that's that...
Half the second slice.
I would lean to... Well, that may be a solution anyway. I would lean to say that would be the case. Okay, We'll come back to Kate soon. Who gimel davayz v'katzu kama achron and who didn't can chashiv b'zeh shir kviat suda. Aval kama achron v'agrami chalam cholkim v'svilin de ein levarich amotzi birchan mazon elikishir suda kavua shu erev avoker, which means the Gemara and others say no, reads needs to be more, and some of them get up to even 7 eggs. And right here is where we end up with a problem about what happens if you eat between the amount of 4 eggs and the amount of 7 eggs. What should you end up doing, which may be our problem when we get back to our sufganiyot. Continues. Source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch, in the next paragraph. Now, he told us what you do with Parah B'Kisnin, now he's going to define Parah B'Kisnin. Parah B'Kisnin, Yesh Mefarshim, some say, Pacha Asoi Kimin Kisim. So we saw that. Shemalim Otam Dvashu Sukav Egozim Shketim V'Tavlin. Okay, he just gave you a recipe. What is it? It's something which is bread, which you fill the bread. You fill the bread with honey and with sugar and with and nuts and so on. And this is called rishkolish, if that works for you. The yeshom shehi isa, and this we have not seen yet, some say it's dough, she'irev badvash o shemen o chalav, o mini tavlin va'af'a, that as you're mixing the batter, you have flour and you have water. What else do you have in it? You just put honey or oil or milk or some other taste or chocolate. V'hu she'etam ta'arovet hamei peret o tavlin nikar bi'isa. Now this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes. When does it become cake and not bread? at the point that you can taste those other things within the bread. Right? V'yeshomar, shezenikra pat gamor. And some say, no, that's even still regular bread, which means what happens, and now think Rosh Hashanah. You make challah and you add some honey to it, or you add raisins to it, or whatever. Is that still challah? So over here, we just not got to this point. How much of these other things need to be in order? By the way, I had challah a couple weeks ago. I heard it's all over America, but it was the first time I tasted it. It was challah. The whole batter was challah. On top of it, they put the top of babka. Babka. You know, like with like a crumb top, like cake. It was first of all, it was unbelievable. And in the batter itself, they definitely put more sugar than they would normally, and some cinnamon than they would really could. But they baked it looking like challah, and that's what they used for the motzi. What? Or chocolate chip challah? What? Okay. So no, 1 second. So he just now told us. He just now added another category. His other category he added is flour and water and some other ingredients. And the Mechaber said you have to get to the point of tasting it. Just 1 second. Let's go on a little bit more. Elim ken yesh bam harbei tavlin o dvash kimine mitika shekurin lakish. Unless it has so much of it, shekamat ha-dvash v'veh ha-tvelin he-mikar, until it gets to the point that the honey and the other things are the main point. V'yesh meforeshim shu'upad. And say, no, that's bread. Bein mitubelet, bein she'ena mitubelet, she'osim ota ke'avim yiveshim ukosesim otam v'him nekrim biskonish, which sounds more like biscuits. And here he got to the thing that you make really, 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 really thin. So he just now offered three different opinions on what is pata babakistin. One was something that you fill up with fruit. The second thing is that the batter is changed and you add taste to the batter. Now the question is, how much taste does it need to have? And the third opinion was that you make it very, very thin, like what you would call biscuits or crackers. And then he tells you something which may be a surprise to you. V'lacha k'divrei kulam. And the law is that all of these things are called pata babakistin. Meaning, it's not a machloket. Each one of the Rishonim, what were they doing? They were giving you examples of what is pata babakistin. And they all have something in common. What is it? It's made out of flour and water, and it should be bread, but it's not bread. Why isn't it bread? Because it's not used as bread. But what happens if it is used as bread? Well, where is that line? Over here is... Again, the most difficult part here, where is that line when you make challah and you add eggs to the challah, to the batter? What happens when you add a little bit of honey to it? What happens if you add a little bit of raisins to it? Which is, how much needs to be added that now it's just no longer bread? Now, what do they do with the mizonot rolls? What they do is they add apple juice instead of water. Or they mix it. Right? That's what they do. Now, I'll ask you a very simple question. Can you taste it? Right. If you can't taste it, you just now entered into a huge machloket. Now, it could be there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim on this point. So it could be that according to Sephardim, forget about it. There's nothing to talk about. It's not a mizonot roll. It doesn't exist. At which point it is a mizonot roll? Only at that point, he just said it, that you can taste clearly that other ingredient. If it looks like a roll and it tastes like a roll, but the baker happens to know he added apple juice over here, again, for Sfarad, it wouldn't make a difference. Now, even for Ashkenazim or a little bit more Makel over here, it's not so simple because it goes back to usage again, which means theoretically on the plane after the meal, they served you a mizonot roll and you took it and you ate it, you know, a little mizonot roll afterwards, a little bit of it. So then I would say, okay, then it would be a mizonot. But if they give you the mizonot roll with the meal and you're using it as you would bread with the meal, again, you make a sandwich out of it, you dip it in whatever, you're using it as bread, as being, so you were koveya suda with that. And now it doesn't make a difference how much you ate of that because the 200 grams, this mythical 200 grams, will be together with the rest of the food. And at that point, you were koveya suda. Then you say, I have to say Birkat HaMazon. You're amused.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing as the potatoes, and it was never right. But again, it's not again. Corn is not a grain. They didn't know about corn. They didn't know about potatoes. Flour, yes. You have to check with tortillas because sometimes they do put flour. And by the way, you want other applications? What I'm saying? You eat a wrap. The wraps are not that in anymore, right? A wrap. Good. What's the thing made out of? The outside. It's flour. It's made out of flour. It's made out of flour and water, which means that is bread. And then what do they do? They fill it up with tuna fish or fill it up with something else. Okay, you look how much do you have altogether? Oh, more than 200 grams. You have to say Birkat HaMazon afterwards. I'm sorry if what I'm saying. I'm sorry what I'm saying is unpopular, but it's just anamotsi. Yeah.
What happens if you eat a whole meal without any bread, any crackers?
What did you eat?
Like a salad and a chicken.
So you say Bereinu Fashot, and you say, right, and you say whatever brachot it is, you say Bereinu Fashot. Of course not, of course not. Only if you had bread do you bench. Right, right? If you eat a great deal of meat, right, and you don't need, which I've done many times in my life, what? It's not a suda. A suda would, by the way, what's the difference between a suda and a mishteh? A mishteh versus, a mishteh needs to drink as well. L'shtot. A mishteh is a meal that has alcoholic beverages as well. Right? But a su'udah needs to have bread. And your koveya su'udah means bread. But what we've learned today is that you could be koveya su'udah with something else, which is like bread. So therefore, the pot of babakistan is, it is cake, right? It is pie. It is pizza. By the way, there are opinions, which we're apparently not getting to everything today. It's very apparent, isn't it? Yes, yes, that we have to get back to. There are opinions, which the Magen Avraham, and I believe the Mishnah Berurah mentioned as well, that it's only considered to be part of Baba Kisnin if it has something which is sweet in it, because then it's used as dessert. And then it leaves meal food and becomes dessert food. Because one of the considerations that Rashi told us, if you remember, was you only eat a little of it. So it's something sweet, you have to meal it. But what if it's pizza? I mean, there are those who'll say pizza was never part of Baba Kisnin to begin with. Why? Because that's a real that's part of that's a meal. That's a meal. And only something that by nature you eat really small portions of is something which would enter into the category of part of Baba Kisnin. So I'm saying there are Achronim who say that. Maybe you can see it from Rishonim as well, but that may also, just in terms of the whole pizza thing, you know, put you in a very precarious place in terms of your brachot. Okay. So we have to get back to our sufganiyot, don't we? Just look first in the Bir Halach in source 17. He admits to something which is true today as well. What does he write? He's talking about you put honey or spices, whatever, in it, and he says, okay, that's bread. Or eggs he adds over here. He goes, people are very lenient on these things, but what he's going to claim is because it's out of ignorance, not out of knowledge, that people know that cake you make a mezonot. And afterwards you say, so, but what have we seen real clear today? He says that people are not careful. He says, people are not careful about saying hamotzi if they're koveya suda. Okay. In source 18, he does get to hamantashen or something similar to it. Yeah, you know, he gets to the things that we eat on Purim, which we will not get to. Regarding the crackers, he writes, when they're made in 19, he says, when they're made really, really soft, nasim yaveshim kol kach ad shenifrachim, right? They make turn into crumbs. Ve'ein ze nikra ochel elo koses. Ve'ein darkam le'achol mizeh harbe l'chein ein lo din pat. When he talks about the crackers, you don't eat a lot of the crackers, therefore they're not a motzi. And I'll ask you again. And what happens if you do eat a lot of them? So now you just, I mean, what are those little, what was those things called, the little crackers? Ritz, right, the Ritz. Put chopped liver on it. Nothing like it, right? But let's say, you're gonna all be hungry after this, right? So again, what happens if you eat? He says, no, you eat a little of it. Okay, but what happens if you eat a great deal of it? Now, you ran into the same problem, which means you need to separate your meals and your snacks. That's really the message. Well, no, it depends how much you eat. Okay, source 20. Here, the Shulchan Aruch continues, and he talks about what about things which are fried? Which means if you take flour and water and you fry it, right, is frying, right, or deep frying, is that going to be bread or is that something else?
Mm-hmm. No,
French toast. French toast is bread, right. Or sufganiyot. Okay, afilo devar shebli lato ava. So over here, part of the issue is that it was kneaded. It was kneaded, which, by the way, doesn't happen with pancakes. Im bashla utigna, ein revarchin, ein varechale amotzi, afilu yeshale lo turta dinehema. It doesn't have the tzurat hapat. It doesn't look like bread. Right? Vafilu nitchev bechala. Which is, here's the question, is what happens if you had a batter that you were obligated to separate challah from? And what he's really asking here is, separating challah going to define something as bread afterwards? Or could you have a situation that you do have an obligation to separate challah, even though, because it's a batter, even though what's ending, the end product over here may not end up as being bread? And that's, by the way, Machloket Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and others. But over here, let's just continue a little bit. He writes, the motzi goes, depends on how it was baked. The challah depends on the batter. V'yesh cholkim v'omim, the kol shetchilat ha'isa ava. Some disagree and say no. If there was a thick dough. There was, meaning you had a situation of dough. V'yafilu richicha achar kach b'mayim. And even afterwards you thinned it out. V'asa sufgin. Here we find our sufganiyot again. And you make sufgin, pirish. What does sufgan mean? Pirish isa shelusha va'asun kemin tzfog ubishla b'mayim o tigna b'shemin mevarech aleim hamotzi. Then you see in parentheses v'nogu lahakel v'yirei shemayim yotze yedei shneihim v'lo yachal el yedei sheyivarech alechem achar tchila. So here we see we got back to our problem of the sufganiyot, which, by the way, has another issue to it. It has jelly or something sweet added to it. So what does he say? If you have yirei shemayim, you're not going to eat sufganiyot alone. And he does suggest eating them together with a meal. But I'm going to add something, because this is not an exact application of the principle. But what this will come down to, what? Yeah, it can also be bagels, correct. So this will come down to is that the sufganiyot have another issue, and that's the sweetness to it. Over here, the bagels, what we do with the bagels. So he is suggesting that maybe bagels, maybe you should be careful and only have it, you know, with a proper meal. But again, if you're a kovei asuda with bagels, there's no question that it's a motzi and so on. There will be people that before they eat a bagel will take a piece of, make a motzi on a piece of bread. And now you understand what that issue is. So what is our answer with sufganiyot? If you eat a whole box of sufganiyot, then you were kovei asuda and you would make a motzi. You will make a motzi on it. You make a motzi on it, and you will make birkat hamazon on it, because this is really, it's dough, it's bread. You can say, hold it, but it's filled with something. Now we saw that, well, that is part of Baba Kistin. But you'll say, but even the dough, they added other ingredients to it, that's part of Baba Kistin. If you'll say over here, but they made it in oil, right, instead of baking it, that does introduce another element over here. That's why we read this thing over here at the end. That does introduce another element, which does make it a little bit more questionable. And the answer is going to end up being is that people should be careful not to eat, which means if you're going to eat between the 200 and, let's say, the 400 grams or 350 grams, you may then get yourself into the machloka that we had seen earlier on. What did we learn today? What we learned is that there is something which is called wheat. Right, and it could be wheat, it could be oats, it can be barley, and so on and so forth. We have five grains. Anything, those five grains, if eaten right out of the ground, it would be a shakel because you ate something. If you would eat it when it's roasted, but the starch did not come out of it, which I think is the case in granola, at that point it becomes an adama. If you were, and by the way, that may be also the case with some cereals, like some puffed wheat or something. It's not the right. Right, you know these kinds of cereals, or that would be an adama. It would not be a mazonot. The five grains only becomes a mazonot at the point that the starch has come out of them. At that point, it becomes a mazonot. By the way, what's interesting, if you asked me before about potatoes or about corn or something like that, if you were to make flour out of corn or flour out of potatoes, that becomes a shakol. Because what was it? It was a vegetable, which now lost its identity of a vegetable. So it goes to a lower level. It becomes a shakol now. So you make something out of potato flour, it's a shakol. You make something out of corn flour, it's a shakol. But if you make something, and this is a special law by the five grains, you take the five grains and you make flour out of it. So now what has it become? Now it became a motzi. If you make rice flour, I believe rice flour would be the same thing. It would lose, even though rice was the special thing about mazonot, I believe that rice flour would lose that and go back to a to a shakol as well. So therefore, what we've learned over here is that you have the five grains. They become a mizonah when the starch emerges, but they then get to the highest level, right? You can speak existentially in terms of right? The yi'ud of the right, the place that the bread was supposed to become, so it becomes bread. At that point, it becomes the motzi. But there are things that are like bread, which really is a category of bread, which we simply don't use as bread because it becomes dessert, because it's too sweet, it's something else. At that, or it's made too thin, it's a cracker or something. At that point, it lost its identity as bread. It reverts back to the mizonot. What happens when you now use it as bread? Which can either be in the meal you use it as bread, or you ate so much of it, which is what's called koveya suda. At that point, it reverted back to bread again, and the proper bracha afterwards would be a birkat hamazon. So therefore, be careful how many sufganiyot you eat. If you ate, matzah becomes machlok in Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Svaradim all year round make a mizonot on it, unless they're koveya suda, because they see it as being part of baba kisnin. Ashkenazim say, no, it's a funny thing almost. It's because we use it as bread on Pesach, so therefore this is part of baba kisnin that never lost its identity as bread. But a regular cracker or something is not matzah, so therefore it would fit into the part of baba kisnin because it's really thin. But Svaradim do differentiate.
Potato chips, are they?
Excellent. Two excellent. Right? Potato chips would either be a shakal or an adama. Most likely it will be an adama. Pringles, by the way, is potato flour. So it lost its an adama, it becomes a shakal. But real potato chips would be an adama.
Yeah. I saw on Pesach I had a bag of potato chips, chocolate chips. And on the front of the bag, in the back of the bag, on one of the sides it said the birkato shakal, on the other side it said birkato bari for adama.
So I'll tell you part of... I'll tell you part of the problem. I'll tell you part of the problem. It depends why the potatoes were grown. If the potatoes were grown to make potato chips out of it, which by the way is the case in many places, at that point it will be an adama. If they were grown to make potatoes out of, regular potatoes, and now you're using it for something other than its purpose, so then you could begin to argue that maybe it should be a shakol. My guess is that it's a mistake and it should be an adama. Have a happy Hanukkah, and we're off next week, so don't be heartbroken.